blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. with this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I could look at being really stuck.
Really stuck.
Ah, it's horrible. So, well, my mom's here for a visit. She just came yesterday. And it was suggested to me this morning that I typically move to a place, not by her, but by someone else in my family, that often when she comes to a visit, I move to a certain identity. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't told what that identity is, but I can feel it. Mm. And I get really mad and defensive that it would be suggested that that's going on. But it feels really like super stuck. And I'll just tell you what I've seen about it. And then
okay.
So I know that I want to hide, and either hide and become really small and suck all of my energy in, or kill everybody around me.
Okay.
I guess get really, you know, just push everybody away, and then there's this overlayer of self-hate that says, your mom's a nine, she's like the nicest person on the planet, why do you go that way?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do it to her, you know, what I notice I do is I do it to me. Well, I do it to Andrew, of course.
You do it to who you can do it to.
Right.
Conditioning acts out in the place where it can get away with it, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what it does, though, as you say that? Conditioning acts out in the way it can get away from it, with it, and recreate itself. Because it doesn't do it with the kids. I mean, a little bit. They might say it does, actually. But not as bad. It probably does do it a little bit with the kids, but you know, I can't get away with it with them.
So somehow acting out with Andrew recreates it. It reinforces conditioning.
Yeah. It reinforces conditioning. And, oh, it's so humiliating to say, but why not just see it and admit it? God, he's not here. What it does is it recreates my dad. It recreates who I grew up with, what I saw and felt, and as I was walking up here and looking at it, it doesn't want me to see that clearly.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't want me.
It
to
doesn't
see
want
that.
You to see that what goes on when conditioning gets to act out with him is that you're recreating what happened when you were young.
Right.
Dynamic with your father.
Because if I see that, then the story isn't true.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
It really believes it's true.
Uh-huh. And it wants you to believe it's
and
true.
And I really believe it's true until I see something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this thing happens where I don't want to be stuck in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so stuck.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels viscerally stuck.
Yeah. And it's such an interesting place, isn't it? Because So from what you describe, you get identified with its position that this isn't about recreating, you know, what went
Absolutely not.
It's about this real, what's going on with this external person who's really doing these things
who
and really
doesn't understand,
you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if that's the case, if it truly is about this external person and the way he's being, then you have no way to work with that. You are stuck.
That's right. I had no way to work with it, because, and that's interesting you say that, because there was a moment, there was a piece of despair within it.
Yeah. Like no wonder. Yes. I mean, because you got, what are you going to do?
The story's
right
true.
Now?
Yeah. Exactly.
And you've gone far enough to know that isn't going to help.
Exactly.
So then you're really stuck, because this isn't going to work and this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But so to see that place of, this is a recreation of my childhood, which is what we say all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? All the time, in a billion different ways, we talk mm-hmm. about how we're recreating our childhood to survive it. When we really see that, then we've got something to work with, which is why conditioning resists it like crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's super helpful, and I get lost in the practical practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, it, I can see it here,
mm-hmm.
but then I get up and I'm still kind of seeing it.
Yeah.
And then somebody, you know, they'll look at me a certain way
yeah.
or say a certain thing, and I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
the story
yeah.
is true.
Yeah. Well, and with stuff like that, it seems like just giving ourselves so much space to practice with it. So much kindness, so much latitude and patience, and I mean, that's really, you're just describing practice. You know, it's this really deep thing for you, it's really repetitive, it happens, and each time you go through it, you see more about it.
Yeah, that's a nice way to approach it. I was thinking of singing. I have been singing.
yeah.
And it's really been kind of, because he's been gone this week. He's been out of town. Mm-hmm. So with the kids, yeah, I was solo and tired and singing. And they're just like, they've sung back to me a few times, actually.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'll try the singing. Because
yeah.
I need some of those kinds of, I don't know, fresh is the idea, but kind, fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen next time.
Yep.
Just practice this time.
Yep.
She's back in 3 months.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's just kind of triggers up when she comes.
Yep.
No big deal.
No big deal. It's just, you know, the karma coming through.
It's the karma coming through. Got it? Yeah.
And with that spirit of inquiry, how, let's try singing. Let's try this. Let's
mm-hmm.
try that. Not with any, we're going to do something that's going to fix this.
No.
But just that science experiment of, okay, here we are, you know, what if we moved it over here? What if we moved this a little bit that direction? Then what? Then what?
Well, I think the kindness is key, too, because
mm-hmm.
when you said that, that space will be good.
Yeah.
Because singing, it is probably part of me who wants to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Now
mm-hmm.
we take something that was fun last week, and okay, we're going to
use
right. it.
Right, now,
this
from
one.
Now on.
Right, every time we sing,
yeah.
we're all going to disidentify.
Sure. It didn't work. Why does it work?
Maybe because I was singing, you know, Phantom of the Opera this
morning. Exactly, exactly. But truly, you know, with all of that, even with that, if we can just have that one micro step back from it, then all of it can be seen with awareness. You know, even that process of the thing that worked last week, now we want to make it into a program and apply it this, oh wait, I see that, okay. As soon as we see it, we can make a different choice and try something else. And,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, with each step, not letting the self-hate get a hold of it. You know, not letting the self-hate get in there and say, you know, things like, God, your mom's the nicest person on the planet. Why are you? I mean, it's just so not helpful.
I know.
It
is
the
experience. This poor person is struggling.
Yeah.
That's why just self-hate is so bad. Because there you are, I am struggling with my karma.
Right.
And in excruciating pain, and then bam.
Exactly.
You know, it's, like,
it's the absolute opposite
helpful.
Of what we would do with someone we loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're in this habitual situation and they're doing such an amazing job bringing the best they can to it,
mm-hmm.
just so much sincerity, so much, you know, kind of effort looking at all the different things. We'd want to cheer them on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We'd want to cheer them on for every kind of effort and thing that they're doing with it.
Yeah, I'll try that approach.
My version of the recreating the childhood karma is I'm watching the old karmic belief that it doesn't ever get said this way, but you know, if you distill what's happening mm-hmm. and you had to put a couple of words to it, mm-hmm. it's that I don't get to have things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do get to have things if they're kind of old things that people are done with and mm-hmm. that, you know, I kind of find and create them into something. Mm-hmm. I can, that's all good and fun mm-hmm. and okay. Mm-hmm. But I can't have new things, nice things, uh-huh. because I don't know. We just
we never go that far. It's just
yeah. And so I've been watching that and seeing this pull. You know, I have some unique needs right now, and I'm watching this pull to get something old, something used, something. And someone mirrored to me, you know, well, aren't you afraid it might be dirty or, you know what I mean, something like that. And I'm like, yeah, really, I am. I don't really, it's yeah. not really that comfortable, although, you know, I would do something to make it, you know, right. Mm-hmm. And so stepping into a place of challenging that.
Uh-huh.
By doing yeah. something different.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Whoa.
What something so seemingly small like that would just make the whole
yeah.
system go crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so I did quite a thing yesterday. And afterwards there was a part of me that just was so pleased, mm-hmm. just so tickled, mm-hmm. And other parts that were just like, you know, you're going to be old and you won't have a cent left, and you're going to be lying on the side of the road, mm-hmm. and, I mean, it didn't actually say that, but you know, it's that kind of fear-based thing that... you know, it's all up to you, and you have to have enough for whatever possibilities might happen in your life. And mm-hmm. and so you better not give any of that up now, because mm-hmm. you're going to need it when you yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Are you aware of any of the self-talk? I'm just curious, around the pleased?
I don't know. I would have to kind of sit with that and see if there's any words for it. But there was definitely this feeling afterwards. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of it was so new that it wasn't. I wasn't really allowed to dwell there in that
yeah,
kind
so
of
quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. There underneath it was that nervous yeah. energy that yeah. Something. This is not going to go well or yeah. something.
Well, part of the reason I ask is that what you just said around the. You know, you're going to be old and all mm-hmm. that. It was all in you language.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems so clear that it's self-hate. Mm-hmm. Very likely talking to the person who was so pleased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably so many reasons. The different behavior, wow, right. how good that feels, right. and whatever the thing was, and getting to receive. And
right, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And it's just so... neat, because this has been operating forever. Mm-hmm. It's been ruling all the choices I make in life. Mm-hmm. It's maintaining kind of an attitude of deprivation on the physical plane. Mm-hmm. On the spiritual plane, I feel so blessed and so grateful uh-huh. and so rich wow. and so yeah. in the most abundance I could have. Mm-hmm. But this thing is on the physical plane. So I can, that's good and that's all,
yeah.
but part of that is doing the best with what I have, what's available, uh-huh. and, uh-huh. you know, it's like a limitation.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I wonder if, I don't know how long that feeling so blessed on the spiritual level has been going on, but it seems like really practicing that mm-hmm. and having your attention on that may, over time, be allowing you to move that process into this other plane.
Well, that's why I think it is in her now. That's yeah. why I think that yeah. is the level at which it's operating right now.
Uh-huh.
That it's there's a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I was just looking in this one way for things.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And yesterday I started looking in another way.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought I better do it while I'm looking because yeah. if I don't, I'm not going to
yeah.
stay. You know, yeah. I knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so I just did. I just oh, wow. did. Wow. And it's really fun, you know, to see all that and to go ahead and just challenge it just because
yeah.
it's there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could go the other path and I could be perfectly happy,
yeah.
really. I mean, I have been and
yeah.
I've felt blessed all along.
Yeah.
I mean, not all along, but
right,
practice
right.
has brought the bless.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
It, you know, I would not be deprived in any kind of way that would take that blessing away.
Right, right.
But why stop there? Why yes. can't the blessing be,
absolutely.
You know, and the trust that it takes that this is not going to be the end of the world because, you know, the universe has always provided. I can go back to it.
Right, exactly.
The other way, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I just love that piece of doing it partly because conditioning is so against it.
Absolutely.
Okay, then I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that fast track to, okay, so conditioning is causing suffering. Then let wherever it's hiding, wherever those subtle places are that we can't see it, or we can see it, but we're afraid to go up against it,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's go for those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been finding that being more the attitude of the mm-hmm. spirit of inquiry is leading me to not just look at it and see it,
yeah.
but actually to do the behavior. That's what
yes.
it is. It's
yeah.
the choosing a different behavior.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it really takes it to another level.
It does.
Because just
yeah.
seeing it is one thing. But
yes,
yeah.
absolutely. It's so inspiring to be inside of the human who made that behavior change.
I know, really,
yeah.
really, yeah. So that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the day. I am going to actually, you know, allow that please and that
yeah.
gratitude for that
yeah.
to really sink
yeah.
in and to be...
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to go to the other place. I mean, it's right
oh,
there,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
It's the default
yep.
at this point,
yep.
so.
Yep, yep. And anytime you notice that the attention has gone there, no problem.
Yep.
Just right back to
absolutely.
The pleased and the...
It, yeah, it's just it's just an opportunity to see how entrenched that groove,
yeah.
that synaptic path or whatever it is, is, and I can just say, oh, there it is.
Exactly, and to me, again, sort of like we were talking about a moment ago with Susan, when it's all held in awareness, then anytime I realize I've gone to that familiar groove, watching how, very likely at that point, I'm in suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it. That really, boy, that having my attention on that really does cause suffering every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of reinforces that, motivation, if you will, to be in the, to put my attention where I want it to be actively,
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yes, and what it has brought to me, I'm seeing as you're reflecting that for me,
mm-hmm.
is that the consciousness of it there is now there.
Yes.
That this has been a pattern,
yep.
and it hasn't been a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I still feel very blessed and very happy. But there is that limitation that I was committed to not seeing. I was
yes.
committed to making that okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not okay, it's just that
exactly.
now I see it.
Yeah, and then now you'll have a choice.
Now there's a choice.
You know, now you can do it with consciousness.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, having the attitude of mind of, you know, I can use things that aren't necessarily brand new and that, you know, those work well too. I mean, that's great.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Right.
If we had a few more folks who were
yeah.
subscribing to that. But it's just that then when whatever the content is that's coming along now, where maybe the appropriate thing in this case is to get something new.
I think so, that's fine too. Yeah.
You know, there's no rule about it. It's just what's called for in this moment.
That's the issue. It's called freedom.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of karma.
That's right. Well,
yeah. Yeah, I just saw it as you said it, so thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Jenna.
I just heard... it's really inspiring to be inside the human who made the behavior change. I just really love that. And it describes really well an experience that I'm having. And it's kind of, it feels like a way of acknowledging whatever it took to make the behavior change while also kind of settling into that experience of I didn't quite do it. That there's that cooperation with life.
Uh-huh. That you did, I got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you or an I who made that happen, but yeah.
But there was some willingness in some direction, and it sort of kind of feels like a way of enjoying and acknowledging that.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at a really fascinating place of an experience that I project is an experience of when all of the energy isn't going towards choosing karma, when all of the energy isn't going towards maintaining the illusion of a separate self. Mm-hmm. And it's an experience that gets called forgetting. Mm. And it's an experience that I've had, that I've noticed a few times before, but kind of spaced out, you know, over time. And then there've been a lot of them run together over the last week. Mm. And it often follows some sort of participation, so maybe sharing in group. And then there's this experience of having forgotten something really big, really obvious and really important. And the best way I can describe it is as if I had an external child and I'd left them in the grocery store. Like, you know, like, I know there's something.
Right.
And what I project is going on with that is that whatever had to be dropped for the being to be able to participate, so in that moment there's the what's available and the karma, whatever had to be dropped to make that possible is really clamoring to be picked back up again. Like, you've forgotten me,
Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, are you saying that the forgetting takes a particular content form, like you might forget to change your shoes to go in the dining hall or that kind of thing? Or is it more this, there's just a sense that I'm forgetting something and I'm not sure what it is, and your sense is that the forgetting is just the identity wanting to be picked back up?
Yeah, so a bit more the second one, but the, so that there's something out there that's been forgotten. And then the way that the identity tries to come back in is to scan for what that thing might be. So the most recent experience of this was just sitting before group, that it was scanning, so, you know, like, I swept the porch and I refilled the tissues in the meditation hall, but what if I missed a bit, you know? And so what I see about that is, well, first of all, yesterday I did more sitting in one day than I've ever done in this lifetime. Not more sitting around, because I've done plenty more sitting around, but sitting in meditation.
More meditating, legs crossed, facing a white wall.
And what the experience of that was that it turned into a workshop of letting life, or letting the kind of intelligence of life work with the body. And so there was this really familiar place of discomfort that comes up in sitting, that, you know, someone had been looking at, and what if we maybe sit like that and a bit like that, and what if it's something to do with, so that all of that experimenting. And then in all of the sitting yesterday, there was just the body just moved to where the discomfort was eased. And so sitting this morning, there was an expectation that that discomfort was going to be there, and it wasn't. So what I see about that is there's that habitual karmic sensation in the body, the way that conditioning has been holding the body to keep that in place. And it wasn't there. And so then there's the experience of forgetting, and then there's the scanning for what if I missed a spot of something out on the porch.
And that's, go ahead. Was there more?
No.
And that's so perfect, what that scanning of how did I get the tissues and did I get that? Because those are my jobs, right? I'm responsible for those things. So that all reflects me.
Yes.
right? So it literally is scanning for me.
Yes.
Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Because in those other experiences that you're describing, there's just life.
Yeah.
Life, you know, in the form of Anna. And really, we can't, in a way, not even that, because there's not that self-consciousness of me.
Right.
Where am I in all of this? Right. And so that's just such a classic, that that sense of forgetting and like, well, what's, wait a minute, because then I'm back in the, you know, it's me and life, me and life. There's that separation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been looking at this recently, that the relationship with egocentricity is fundamentally a form of obsessive compulsive checking. But just the way that you describe.
Yeah.
So all of that checking in with how am I doing, how am I feeling, to create that, like the borders, or the limits of the identity.
Perfect. What does she think about? What about that? But I don't know if it's all centered around I.
And I think that's where, so what I've noticed about this forgetting and then the scanning to remember something is that, you know, being here, it's obviously losing a bit of ground, you know, and the way that it gets its most revs in the short little window it has is by that checking, because it feels like, you know, when like the gears or cogs like click, it's like a wind-up radio or something, it gets a lot of cranks out of that checking.
It gets a lot of cranks out of that checking.
It's like check, and then, you know, it doesn't have much.
So really attempting to get the focus of attention, the energy back to it.
Yeah.
Because again, as we always say, without your attention, it has no way to exist.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's really being like a deeper kind of experiential kind of getting all of that. It's really exciting.
That is exciting.
Thank you.
Behavior change and the body. It's been a fast 3 weeks here, but it's been a really astounding, interesting time with my body here. So my back went out on me when I was here a year and a half ago. And in this last year and a half, I've done so much work with Pilates and physical therapy, and in that time, I've seen so much about the way I stand and sit and drive and walk, and I've made changes, all which is really help this guy out. And then being here, you know, I can help move the generator without freaking out, and I can dig, and I can do all these things. And then after, each time I do something vigorous like that, I always say, oh, I hope I didn't hurt myself. But it's just, well, first of all, just 3 cheers for the guy who did all that stuff in this last year and a half. I mean, I do stuff every morning, and I'm just feeling so good. And then I was also able on another day to say, you know, I don't think actually 40 minutes of shoveling would be a good idea. How about just 20?
Yeah.
You know, and condition didn't want
to match that. It's such a huge piece of it, isn't it?
Yes.
To be able to really listen to the body and then to communicate. To not go to conditioning's meaning or ideas or, you know, what does this mean about me and what are they going to think about me and what if...
Because I followed that path so many times and either gone too fast on a bicycle and wiped out or just, or done something too long to eventually like, oh! And now, too, being able to do all those things in this 3 weeks and another one coming up, it's, I've seen, one, that I need to move more in life. Just because all that stuff really, I mean, feels good at the end of the day and then the next day. And because the exercising that I do is good, it maintains and strengthens whatever, but it's not the same as really, you know, crawling underneath the meditation habit. You know, you're just moving all over.
It makes a huge difference, though.
It does.
Just be in life, not just with our, you know, participating in our speech and our talking and emailing and that kind of thing, but with the physical body that we've been given to move it around and participate. It's amazing how much, quote, exercise you can get in just living a monastic life without ever getting on the running trail.
Yes, it's great. And I've seen, now that I've been doing all this stuff, I can see that it's time to do more stuff. I've proven to myself that yes, I can do these things, and now I can go out and, you know, go mountain biking and do some other things that I've been kind of putting off for a while, still operating out of a fear of doing something, and that I've seen that I can do a lot, and at the same time, listen to myself and check in with what's going on, and I go, woohoo, this is great! And then,
And you know, to me, that's the key right there, what you said, is that the main check-in, am I ready for mountain biking? Well, I don't know on a physical level, but what I do know is that I can trust myself to treat the body in the way that it needs to be treated. So am I ready for the mountain bike? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I know that when I get on it, if the minute I get on it, I realize it's time to get off it, I'll get off it. Mm-hmm. If I go 10 minutes down the road and then we're done, I'll go home. If I, so really the main ingredient that we need in terms of are we ready for the next thing is, can the human, can it be trusted to not, you know, look to conditioning for what, you know, what's going to be good for the body. But if we're really in a place of being willing to listen to the body, then we're ready to try anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm very.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just so many things present to want to be presented, I guess. What arose for me this morning in an orientation about my next 4 weeks here was looking at what I wanted to take away or what I wanted to process or what I wanted to get out of. Mm-hmm. My time here at the monastery. And tears came to my eyes, just, whoa. And what I've realized over the past 2.5 years was how much I've devoted time to ending a relationship and starting a relationship where all my time and energy has gone out to those two things. Mm-hmm. And I had seen this as the 2.5 years went by. I was like, whoa, I got to get back into, like, fiction writing, or I got to get back into, you know. But it's so funny, 2.5 years ago when I saw Sherry at a retreat, I think it was back on the East Coast, and I had my first ever one-on-one guidance session with her. I said, I really want to, I'm going to be free, you know, once I get divorced, I'm going to be totally free, you know. I'm going to have all the time in the world, and I'll be coming to the monastery, you know, I really want to learn. And this is the first 4 week, you know, mm-hmm. time that I've been out here. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me, I think what I saw in the orientation this morning was just the first kind of well of emotion. Since I've been here, and usually it's like I step on the property. Usually it's actually I get picked up in the car and I start crying. There's a feeling of relief, or there's a feeling of coming home, or there's a feeling of, okay, now it's, but it's like conditioning's been overriding everything until that moment this morning when finally I felt something that was at my heart rather than just experiencing through conditioning.
So it felt like up to that point, things were being filtered through the conditioning,
and
then kind of the heart was revealed, was opened, was exposed to that.
Yeah, and in a way of like, well, what do I want? Right. What is the human want? Yeah. I get here and we go through the, okay, here's how we do this, here's how we, you know, and I'm going, yeah, I remember this, and so it was very much of that conditioned response of
got it, okay.
Nothing new. Oh, yeah. That's new. Well, you know, there were a couple things that were new. Like, oh, that's new. Why? You know, then it was like, well, let's figure this out. Like, well, why is that way? So I don't know. I wanted to share because, but I'm feeling very rambling, which is very new for me because I usually don't ramble. I usually have my words all laid out. And, okay, this is exactly what I want to say. This is exactly how what I want to get out of sharing. Yeah. And
So, and which is so funny, isn't it? Because it sounds like this morning when you were asked sort of a version of that question, "What do you want to get out of this?" It was like almost like caught off guard. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's actually something for me here.
Yeah.
Not just conditioning, going, yeah, I know that, and what about that, and figuring that out, and which none of that is bad. right?
Right.
None of that serves Beth. I project it's not what Beth, the authentic being, even wants. But it's just so the modus operandi, just that we don't really question it. You know, it's just the water we swim
in. That's a great way of putting it. That's exactly what it feels like. Is I get so identified with that Beth that knows or has survived by knowing or as my ex-husband put it, I live somewhere between perfect and best street. You know, there's just that operational identity that's just so keyed on that. Mm-hmm. And I think when this morning it's like, well, what do you want? It wasn't, what does Beth, that conditioned entity want?
Exactly.
It's what do you, you know, what does your heart want? What do you really, and I think it struck me as,
yeah. Well, and I wonder if that's some of what those tears are when you get picked up or whatever, whenever that happens, is that intuitive sensing that this is a place that's created not to support Beth, in quotes, or Jen, in quotes, or, you know, each of the identities that, especially that main identity that's so me we don't see it.
Right.
That's exactly what monastic practice does, is to mirror that so we can suddenly see it and not have to be it. And nothing in the structure supports that at all. And so what it does then is support the actual being, the heart, the authenticity.
Wow, conditioning so well to figure out why it is.
Why it is?
I was like, why is it that the monastic master supports this, supports, you know, life, supports life instead of, well, don't I have that support? You know, don't I have that support when I'm out in the world? And can't I have that?
Well, and you saw that right away when it started doing that, which is an indication that you're getting that tiny bit of distance from it.
Yeah.
And that what a fun kind of one of your intentions for the month to just watch that do what it does. And to the best of your ability when it comes up, to not identify with it. Just let it, you know, do whatever it does while you just watch that process. Like putting your hands up and not knowing what you're going to say. You know, quote, ambling. Total behavior change.
Right.
Which is, to me, is an indication of letting the authenticity just try stuff out, like we were talking about earlier in the discussion. You know, what about this one?
Yeah.
But what if I put my hands up and I have no idea what I'm going to say? And I don't have it all planned out. What would that be like?
Well, it's funny, too, because part of that question of, you know, thinking about what you want out of the next month that you're here. And before, when I've come to the monastery, and I guess the longest time I've stayed is 2 weeks, I had already plotted out, like, okay, well, this is how the first week is, and then the second week, and then when I get out on that day, I'm going to be this, you know, and this time I arrived, and I'm like, I can't even go to a month. Like, I can't,
That's great.
It doesn't compute. It's like, it's nowhere in my radar screen. It's just like, well, I'm just here today.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just be here the next, you know, and not even the next day. I'm just here today, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just wake up, and I'll see what it is, because to start counting out.
Oh, it's.
Doesn't, it's, it literally, like, I've never been in this place before. Mm. Not being this place. But that place of not being able to project out that long. Of just, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that's very fun.
It's
that's fun. Yeah. Thank you.
It's good to be back.
Home.
Yes, thank you. It's good to be home. Wow. And just had a couple month experience of being really identified for most of it. It felt like it.
Certainly a big karmic workshop, anyway.
It was probably the biggest karmic workshop I'd ever come into. I think maybe just for me, coming off of about 4 months of monastic practice We talked a lot of guidances about how conditioning really took over the idea of getting back here was this primary goal or aim that I had to get back to master or else. Mm-hmm. And it really made it really, really a lot of suffering when I was back.
It just proves, it doesn't it, that conditioning can use any context.
It can.
Because you would think, wait a minute. Conditioning's not going to run a campaign to say, I have to get back to the monastery and get urgent about that. That's never going to happen, but of course it will.
It ran
if that's the, yeah.
I ran a campaign of, oh my God, if you don't do full-time monastic practice, what's the point of living? Can you imagine preconditioning that as this greatest horror show?
Until it suddenly looked like
yes,
the road was open.
Right.
And then, right?
Yeah. When I
well, but what about...
Yeah. When I was, you know, pointing the car south and heading for the border, there's a three-hour trip from home to the border, and I thought, oh my God. I don't know if I'm gonna make
it. Not too late, you can turn around.
Oh, there's so many crossroads, right? There's so many turn-offs. And then there's the final one where you can't turn off. It looks too suspicious. There's no turnarounds, you have to go through.
I forgot about the marijuana in the trunk.
Yeah, there's even a point though, you can withdraw your intention to cross the border. You can actually just go there and go, no, there is a little thing that says return to Canada. It's so funny. You can just go, I can't do this. And the whole time it was screaming, just you know, turn around. And then when I got through, it was really weird. It was so, you know, such a build up that it was going to be really tough. And it was about 30 seconds, four questions. The guy was so indifferent, I could have been, you know, it was like, oh yeah, I'm really okay. Good day, bye. It was so amazing.
Wow.
And the condition story about leading up to that was, you know, full, you know, two-day interrogation. And then it was so funny, I just crossed and it was about a half mile down the road, there was a rest stop, and I just stopped there and it was just, the condition just collapsed in on itself. It's like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
This worked. Actually, following your heart.
Wow.
It was just, I just couldn't drive for what happened. It was just, I don't know, it was just so much emotion in the system, and kind of what I talked about earlier, that, you know, I just got to see that life is, you know, cause we've talked so much about how conditioning is outside of life, it isn't life, it truly isn't, and if we, or if I just stuck, not I, but a small I, in quotations, just stuck with what life was moving me forward towards, I just never stopped moving forward. Some days it looked like it wasn't moving.
Right.
And then other days, the condition was saying I'm going backwards.
Which is so good to see now, and I know because you've told me that you've recorded a ton about it.
Yeah.
But those are such good times to record.
Yeah.
Because how easy it is for conditioning to talk to us and say, you're not moving forward, in fact you're moving backwards, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then to get at, you know, we never really arrive, right? But to get to some huge milestone, like crossing the border or arriving back at the monastery or whatever, and to be able to say definitively, those were all lies.
Yes.
There was no truth to that. The only point of every single one of those conversations in the head was to create suffering.
Yeah.
And what it does take us all the way back to the first conversation, what's possible in, you know, because we'll come up against all kinds of situations like that in our lives, right? You know, whatever the content is, it shifts around, but challenges. So what we can do is cheer the human on as he or she makes that amazing effort to keep moving forward, regardless of how it feels. Feels, you know, some days it moves forward so much and it's great, and other days, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm drowning and I'm going backwards. But it's all a piece of it.
Yes.
It's all part of the journey.
Yeah, exactly. It's all part of the journey. And, you know, 3 days on the road, you get a lot of time to reflect on what just occurred. And I just knew, just with my directional meter in my car, I was still heading south. That's all I knew. And I didn't know what highways and freeways I was on at the time. I was like, this doesn't look familiar. That was weird. I was like, I just did this 4 months ago. But it didn't look familiar. Maybe because I was going in the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But it's like, God, this freeway doesn't look right. These mountains look interesting. But I knew, you know, just it's interesting. Just saw that, just having like a compass, you know, an external compass in your car.
Yeah.
It's that internal compass.
Yes.
That heart internal compass. It always knew. There were days I didn't know, and you know, I recorded about like, oh, I'm really lost, and this isn't gonna happen, and I don't know what to do, but I'm recording.
Yeah.
That I know, and I'm gonna listen to this later, and then there's gonna be, you know, just keep going. And so to get back here, it's just like, last night I was just walking up the road, and it got delayed. I had a couple of blizzards that go through, so my timing was a little off. But considering you're traveling 3 days off by an hour, that's not bad. When you think of arrival times,
however many thousand miles
I think airlines have worse arrival times. Yeah. And because I missed the Sashin, but I walked up the road, and then it was just that emotion just poured out, like, I made it. I can't believe it. I did it. You know, I went against everything. everything and more that I've ever seen in this practice, in the 7 years I've been involved with it, everything came up in intensities. Mm-hmm. And I've shared so many times being at Monday, oh, I just came up against a piece of karma that was so intense.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even compare mm-hmm. to what happened out there.
Wow.
It didn't compare. Mm-hmm. And to know that it's possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything, like you said, the thousands of lies
yeah.
that it threw at me in a constant
yeah.
barrage of.
And the huge steps towards freedom. Because
yeah.
to have it throw everything it's got at you
mm-hmm.
and to know I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, you know, it wants to go back and review, well, how did you do though?
Yeah.
How did you look? I mean, but remember that day and remember that?
Yeah.
None of that matters. What matters is that we're here. It's all practice. And so, you know, what's it going to do to me?
Yeah.
I've sat through, you know, literally or metaphorically, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know my joke, one of the final guys, before I left, I said, I don't think it has anything left in reserve, because it would have,
yeah.
you know, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm
yeah.
leaving. It's a done deal. I'm leaving. The car starts. And if there's anything left in reserve, I don't think it's got it, because
yeah.
why would it wait?
Oh, exactly.
Can't wait for 0 hour.
Yeah.
You know, when it hit me with it before, I didn't just survive it and go through it. And, and you're right, I've got all these recordings and I listened to them all the way down and I was like, oh my goodness, look at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And still was able to pick up a sherry look, or still was able to
yeah.
show up for an appointment, or still
yeah.
was able to sit.
Yep.
And I was just like, you know, cheering the human on, I'm like, how does he do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, sometimes I don't even recognize myself in that point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The willingness and the
yeah.
courage. I'm just like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
One of the things that reminded me of is it's sort of one of the last veils that conditioning likes to put over is to help us or to keep us from noticing that we're noticing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my version of what a little bit of what was just being talked about was that. So I'll be going along doing something and being really present, really mm-hmm. this here and now, and then become aware that I've become someone
mm-hmm.
doing it,
mm-hmm.
the person who,
mm-hmm.
and what I see is conditioning would like to stop me there, so that I feel bad about that, and keep me from noticing that I just noticed that.
That's right.
Which means I just took another step back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I mean, it just felt like that some of what's been talked about this morning is that, but that's
yeah.
how, part of how it keeps it stuck.
Yeah,
is it keeps us from seeing that we're seeing all this.
Oh, exactly. It makes a meaning out of it.
Yeah, it makes
so
meaning. Out of it.
I suddenly had an insight that oh, there's an I doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there's nothing to do with that.
Right.
There's nothing to. There's no meaning. There's no problem. There's nothing to fix. There's
right.
yeah.
And it doesn't even want me to see that I saw.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's the next piece. If anything, we can just celebrate. Oh, cool. That's good to see that.
Right. Well, yeah. It just makes it. It's movement from torture to being interesting.
Yeah.
You know, from being bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
From being wrong to just finding something really interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just one other thing that I just noticed recently. And I suspect it's one of those kinds of, well, I don't know what I suspect. Let me talk about it. Maybe I'll find out what I suspect. Occasionally, there's an organization I'm part of, or a couple of them actually have events. And I occasionally am a spokesperson in those events. And I was, for example, last night, I had to speak, just sort of talk a little bit about the organization and that kind of thing. And a couple of weeks ago too, and what I was noticing last night was the push by conditioning to review,
mm-hmm.
and so here's what I don't know about. Part of what I suspect is, well, first of all, what I see is that the content of the review would be negative, but the main thing it wants me to do is review,
mm-hmm.
even if it were positive. The point is to bring my attention to.
Yeah.
That self-consciousness
exactly.
about something that I can't review because I'm not doing more.
Exactly. But sort of like the remembering thing, you know, putting me back in the equation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how did I do there? How did I do that? And sometimes even starting on the quote good side.
Yeah.
So that it can bring us in.
Right, exactly. And what I don't know is, you know, when I facilitate here, that almost never happens anymore and we record.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, you know, that I but there was a time that we facilitated before recording, and when we started recording, I remember a couple times conditioning minutes, I'd walk home and say, I can't believe you said that. And then I'd listen and I, in fact, didn't say that. I can't believe you took that tone, and I listened and I think it's
I don't think
there. And so, because we have that, you know, proof check, I find that conditioning does not push the review while I facilitate.
Oh, that's great.
And, but in settings in which I am not recording, there's a push review. And so what I don't know is, was that always true? Or has it landed on those particular times because I don't have that proof check to try to draw me back into the very familiar process of reviewing? I don't know. I'll just look at that. But it sure seems like that's one of its tactics nowadays is to... It's funny because, for example, last night when I spoke, I had no nervousness or concern or anything about speaking. And while I was speaking, nothing was going on. It was after, and I just, you know, I don't remember whether reviews used to go on or what used to happen. But I'm just noticing that it wants to use those occasions when I can't. Fact check it.
And you know, it's one of those things like, great, go ahead, because then I just keep up my skills of not believing the reviews. So if it wants to review, great, go ahead, review. Because then I get to practice not going with it.
Yeah. And that's, again, the key is not to say, oh no, I didn't say that, or no,
I was
right about that or wrong about that, but not to go there at all.
Yeah. Or, no, I can't have any reviews, have any reviews. But just that, you know, that annoying neighbor image.
Yeah.
Oh, there he's going up reviewing again.
Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you.
So go ahead.
I just, I want to drop in there not knowing what to say, but, I've been touched by that, the cheering that you went on, being this morning, and remembering when I came to the monastery, those first few days, and the tears that just kept, you know, coming, and realizing in some deep place that I had just done something very, very kind, very, very kind for the human and for the heart, and it's just good to be reminded of that.
It is good, yeah.
And it's, and that's still the case.
Exactly. Which is why it's so good to be reminded, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because, you know, when you said that, I thought, God, that's a miracle to be able to be present to that truth, what a kindness it is to bring the human here to this setting, because what conditioning can do, you know, once the human suddenly finds itself in full-time monastic practice. Wow, that's a lot of ammunition. And so, it will, you know, it'll pull out all the stops. Because it has to. You know, wherever we are, you know, we talk about retreats always have to be longer than 3 days because conditioning can hold out for 3 days. But if we stay somewhere long enough, conditioning has to play its cards. I mean, it has to. So if where I'm choosing to live is in the monastic setting, it's gonna have to play its cards there.
Yeah.
And so then it does. And then how good it is to be reminded to have mirrored for us that original choice of coming here and why we came here and what that does for the authentic being.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's just going to play out its cards wherever, you know,
wherever we are, wherever the choices we make,
being lands. You know, you can count on that.
And it's like Sherry's recent blog, where the way it's going to play its cards is particular to the being.
Yes.
So what it says and which stories it dwells on and the angles it comes in with are going to be particular to what will hook that human.
And seem so believable. And the other thing I was remembering is what it felt like to drive up to the monastery and find the gate open. It felt like just an amazing thing that the gate and just symbolically the gate would be open for me to enter. It just arose for me is that what I didn't know is the gate's never locked, really.
It might be closed.
It might be closed, but it's never locked. And so I thought, well, that's very good.
That's a great metaphor. So anyone who has the willingness and it occurs to them to try it could come in.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, really, I think I was in that place of, well, if I saw the gate, I would have never investigated it. Uh-huh. You know?
They must not want me here.
And so it's just really good to see how I do that a lot in different situations in my life. And it just takes that kind of willingness and cheering the human on and acknowledging the kindness and the heart. Keep on.
Yeah. And how all the time, any time we can go back and honor that original decision.
Yes. You know, it's just that possibility of just starting anew So cool.
Really, you know, it's back to the theme we talk about sometimes of being present to everything we have in our lives and how it's just so easy to go to sleep to it. So, my God, I live in a monastic setting where everything is set up for my liberation. Wow. How extraordinary that is to have that opportunity.
Totally. And how, you know what, when conditioning wants to get at me about being in the wrong place, which is, didn't matter where I was my whole life, I was always in the wrong place. You know.
Which is good to remember that too, right? That didn't start when I drove to the monastery.
No, I never lived in the right house, I never had the right marriage, I never had the right kids. None of it was quite right. But it was going to get right someday.
Yeah, pretty soon. As soon as you read that book, you take that workshop.
And it's just been coming up to me really. It's just whatever is in front of me right now is extraordinary.
Yes.
It's just so fleeting and transitory, and tomorrow would be gone, and wow.
Yep.
How much better to just like totally dig in and eat it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Every bit of it.
Every bit of it, no matter where it is and what the experience. And,
I remember years ago a monk talking about She would go on walks and realize that, you know, she would stop at the panoramic views, you know, the ones that were like where you could suddenly just see everything, and she'd stop and really take those in. And then she decided she was going to stop at the ordinary views. You know, just like next door. And how fun that is, because it's all extraordinary.
It is.
I mean, it's all extraordinary.
That's really good.
No, we're just about out of time. Kind of along these lines, yesterday, for reasons I don't really understand, things just, like late in the day, things just kind of lined up in a way that they normally don't. Mm-hmm. And I just felt myself in a very vulnerable place where things got really clear. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for like a couple, 3 days. To some degree, but yesterday, and there was no—I mean, I was out in the world, going driving around and stuff. I mean, there was no—you wouldn't think that that would happen.
It's not like you were sitting, sashing, you know, or something.
Yeah, just in traffic, and and then last night, you know, it's not going to last, and but it occurred to me, I think I'm going to communicate from this place. And there's a way, because of just things that are going on in my life, that I could communicate a way that would just really nail conditioning. Because, you know, it's always angling for something that's different from this kind of, it's just where everything just gets really simple. And so I did that, and I've just been really teary since then. You know, I'm having an experience in the past maybe 5-6 weeks of I'm feeling in a lot of ways like I did when I first came to the monastery, mm-hmm. and I felt so moved by the. I felt like I was just kind of carried off mm-hmm. to be here. Like mm-hmm. I didn't really decide it. It just sort of happened, mm-hmm. and less dramatic, but I've been feeling like that, and that same kind of vulnerability and. Simplicity. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was grateful that arose to do that because, you know, it's
to communicate.
Yeah. Because, you know, this kind of simplicity doesn't last.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I get involved with a conditioned mind and I get mm-hmm. confused again. Mm-hmm. But to communicate in that way, it makes it, it's like you say, you know, you promise, for example, or you sign a contract, or you, it makes it, there's accountability, so I guess that's what it is, there's accountability, and that felt really good to do.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's like conditioning, what you said a moment ago, conditioning is always trying to angle for something and kind of get what it wants, get, you know, whatever, and that place of simplicity, you know, I project you're talking about center, doesn't demand anything in that same way. Mm-hmm. And so we don't need to communicate. You know, there's no sort of, there's nothing I want from that. There's mm-hmm. nothing I need from that. There's no, it's all complete. And so to be willing to communicate from that place simply sort of as a marker almost, you know, and the way you're talking about is putting it out. So there's, so it's like this happened. So conditioning can't erase it. In a way, yeah, sure, you'll go back. It won't always feel this simple and this open and this vulnerable, but it happened.
Yeah, and of course, what I can do with that is I'll get a response at some point, and then I can record it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, my experience with the, I mean, they don't actually take me back to the place, mm-hmm. but they do keep my awareness that it's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they just, you know, listen to the recording, just really go back there. But mm-hmm. I don't generally have that experience. But it does, it helps keep me from getting confused.
Yeah, which seems to me, it's funny, I've been playing with something that sounds similar, that even if it doesn't take me right back to that place, it's like it keeps planting the seeds, And then at some moment, I'm sitting out in traffic out in the world picking up sawdust, whatever, it just, it's like all the seeds suddenly sprout mm-hmm. for no apparent reason. But all that recording, all that listening, all that sitting, all that communicating, all that everything mm-hmm. was a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said. That's very much my experience. It doesn't, it's more long-term than just, you know, I put my quarter in the machine and get my pop or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It takes, that's funny, I don't ever use that word. It's soda. But anyway, it's longer term than that. Yeah. It's kind of like making an investment, you know, putting little bits, like you're saving money for retirement or something, you know, putting little bits in, and then it accumulates over time.
And there's something to me very relaxing and peaceful in the perspective that you're talking about of suddenly it, you know, it flowers, the simplicity, the vulnerability, the all of that. And that's so beautiful and we can appreciate that with no attachment that it's got to stay that way. Mm-hmm. And now I'm never going to go to that. That just over time, we just watch ourselves move in and out of all of it. It's all a part of it.
Yeah, it is. And there's a feeling... kind of underneath all that I feel like I'm just, and we also, mm-hmm. but me, I'm just kind of being carried along.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that was my experience of coming to the monastery. It's been my experience in recent times too, but I think it's always the case, even if I don't really recognize that so much, that I'm being carried along. I feel very grateful to everything that has come before, mm-hmm. Even though a lot of it has been incredibly difficult and painful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I regretted it while it was happening.
Sure.
But I feel really grateful for that. And it's all like that. It's all just putting into it.
Yeah.
And then, in a funny way, that somehow translates into kind of, it's like, you know, weighing anchor and just, I guess that's what it all is. It's just I'm setting myself out there, just trusting that it will go, it will go where it needs to.
Yeah, and one of the amazing places of that, when things do suddenly get simple, is the grace of being able to see, oh, all that really, really hard stuff that I resisted like crazy when it was happening had to happen. That's a, in order for me to be here.
Sure seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just, I mean, the ego has to be destroyed, really.
Yeah.
And that's the experience of it, bit by bit.
Bit by bit. Thank you. Thank you all.